Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who is an expert in an area that I didn't realize was still around. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, folks. My name is Jake Lazier, and I'm a comedian, but more importantly, my day job, I'm a cartographer. I make maps for a living.
Excellent. My understanding of cartography is that it's an ancient art, ultimately. Mm-hmm. In the modern practice, it has a number of applications.
Okay.
So some people think that it's defined resources, oil, gas reserves,
right,
limestone, that sort of thing.
Right.
But a lot of the modern cartography actually has its basis in finding vortexes, voids, okay, and entry points to areas of power and discord. Mm-hmm. This is especially prominent in the Southwest, such as places like Sedona. There's a lot of red rocks, the high energy iron content in those rocks.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but it's impossible to adequately and accurately map Sedona because of all of that iron and oxidation. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times people will get lost, and people think, oh, people are getting lost in the Southwest because they're on drug trips
or something.
They're on something. That's not what it is. It's because they can't adequately map the area, and they're following their maps, and the maps are accurate. That's the big goal of modern cartography is to make sure that they can supersede those natural powers and get us accurate maps for these places of power and these vortexes. Also, mm-hmm, another application is a lot of people remember, or maybe not remember, but maybe have seen monster maps, those globes with sea monsters, land monsters, dragons.
Big fan. They're
wonderful. I have one on top of my fridge right now. And cartography is mapping current day monsters. So we have a lot of action in the oceans, obviously, mostly the pollution in the oceans, the giant plastics.
The trash islands, of course. Yeah,
exactly. A lot of those, but also some stick interpretations of some of the more human monsters that you might find around the world. And then another application as well is the digital mapping. And so this can include the maps in video games of these fake places or real places that they have to adapt and accommodate for the video game, as well as infographic maps, such as ones where they are trying to talk about what are the most interesting things in each state, you know, what things indicate what the best company from that state is, what everybody's favorite hot sauce is in each different state. And which are a little bit more locally when there's the map of a city and they talk about the summation or generalizations of each different neighborhood. And like, this is the type of person that lives in this neighborhood, and this is the type of hipster that lives in this neighborhood.
Right.
There, a lot of cartographers are consulted on that. It's not just influencers and people driving through that area. That's actually there's a lot of data that goes into determining that. And then I'd say ultimately the goal of a cartographer is to communicate data and communicate information to the reader of the map. And so I think that one of the main ways that that is done is through the compass rose. A lot of people overlook the compass rose. And I think that in modern times, there's been a lot of very avant-garde interpretations of the compass rose. And I think that that's one of the areas where cartographers in the modern sense can really demonstrate their artistic know-how and just putting a compass rose where people like it draws the eye. It's like, oh yeah, I am going to know what direction each thing is. So based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I am pretty sure you can spell the word map, and I think that's the most accurate part of this conversation.
Okay, cool.
That and the fact that there are no accurate maps of Arizona, not because of any iron deposits. That's just because Arizona from the air, it all looks exactly the same. Sedona looks like Phoenix, looks like the rest of it. It's all flat. It's red. It's just awful. It looks like my back when it's sunburned. Like, so that's it's close. It's very close for that part. So yeah, I think the thing about map making and cartography is that you did have a point about the representation of data. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the biggest story at the end of the day. It's a data visualization exercise, but it's spatial data. It's like, where are things and where are they in relationship to other things, whether that is a map of the world where we're looking at where is countries in relationship to other countries, whether it's a map of neighborhoods, where does this live, where does that live, or whether it's a map of like a Tinder situation where it's like, oh, how far away is this person actually versus what they're saying. Like, okay, there's the realm of like spatial data and spatial information, how that gets like mapped out. It goes all the way down. Like when you think about how many maps you actually look at in your day-to-day life, whether it's your DoorDash driver and how far away they are with your meal, or like trying to figure out when the train's going to get there from the subway map, or even just doing that classic thing everyone did when they were like 15 and like looking your house up on Google Maps. Like they're consistent. And that's why it's always fun when people are like, oh my God, cartography is still a thing. It's like, well, yeah, it's something most people use every day of their life at the end of the day. It's just mostly on computers now, not those big fun fold out things that you can buy in gas stations.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. In you saying that, I was thinking like, oh, how many maps have I looked at in the last 24 hours? Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I probably looked at different versions of a map probably like 3 to 4 times, just going on the train, going on a different app to see if something was accurate. And that's wild. Like, I don't really actively think about the fact that I'm using a map that often.
Yeah, it's truly like with the innovation of like GPS satellites and the way that works, like it's really become integrated within modern life because technology has gotten so easy. Like, I remember when like GPS used to be a separate device and wasn't just like part of your phone that you get everywhere. You had to buy something separate for your car, and now it comes with almost every car. It comes in every phone. So making sure that data and those satellites are accurately representational of what you're seeing. Because the thing about maps is it's not just like the representation of where things are, but like the accurate representation, because maps have been like one of the biggest tools for liars in the history of human existence. Like, people love to lie with statistics and they love to lie with maps. I don't know if you're like a West Wing person, but there's like a very famous scene from that about map projections, if this is ringing any bells.
Yeah, I believe it was that the map should be should be upside down.
Yeah, so Peter's projection. Basically, the idea is the Earth, the globe, sorry to anyone who didn't know this, but it is round.
Okay.
And that means
this is new information.
Yeah, everyone start taking notes, be ready. This is going to be very impactful. The Earth is in fact round, so that means putting it on a flat surface like a map or even on your phone, it's a little tricky. Like, if you've ever tried to like cut open a basketball and like lay it flat doesn't work like that. So that's where the concept of projections comes in. How do we display a 3D thing on a 2D map? And people have used this for centuries, for like eons, to lie and to get what they want and to explain things away. In like the classic colonialism of it all, it's like, oh my God, they've made Africa and South America so tiny, they must not be important, and North America and England are huge, therefore they're valuable. And it's like the subtle distortion of that data and how we display and talk about that information via projections. And it's kind of showing how like, okay, yeah, this is our shared reality that we're all experiencing together, not to get too heady with it, but how do we put that on a piece of paper with a grid and a scale? And yes, a compass rose, the most underrated icon of any map, personally. So it's all about how we take that information in and represent it accurately. And any other scientist will tell you, science is all about explaining the world. How do we perceive things? What is going on in the space around us? And maps are sort of the visual representation of that. It's a data visualization exercise.
Absolutely. What got you interested in this area?
So I actually have a background in environmental science. I was that outdoorsy kid who would come home with like frogs and bugs and stuff. And I was also that nerd kid who had too much access to the computer. So when I was in school, they offered a cartography class and it's all on computers now. I very rarely like take things by hand. So I was like, oh, I like computers and I like being outdoors. This seems like a great combination of the two. So I was originally going into it to map population dynamics of like different bird and frog species across Eastern America, but these days I mostly focus on like preserves, park mapping, understanding who is utilizing like a trail or hiking and how that works. And I've been mapping for we're coming up on like 10 years now.
That's super cool. What are some of the things that you didn't expect that have been kind of integral to your work?
So I will say the color wheel is actually a big thing I pull up every day because it's very important to be able to display things accurately, but also appealingly. Like I could just give you numbers all day about how big something is, where it's geographically located, latitude and longitude, et cetera, et cetera. But maps are exciting because not only are they just data, but they're visually appealing. There's a reason you can buy like a map and every Pier 1 imports as like decor because they look cool. People want to look at them. So having that sort of like graphic design art take on it, I didn't really expect to know this much about color theory and about like why people like green versus why they like red and what shade of blue actually matters to display like a stream versus a river versus a creek versus the ocean. So I think like the color wheel and like color theory comes up a lot. And then there's all the software, which is pretty boring and I don't want to get into, but
absolutely,
I will say we use Google Maps way more than people think, like constantly, just because it's such a robust tool. So it's the same thing. I don't know. There's a game people use play called like Find the Airport, where you get dropped off at a random place on Google Street View. You had to like get your way back to an airport somehow. Mm-hmm. And that was like something cartographers do at happy hours as like a fun game, because we think it's a cute idea. So like literally Google Earth, color theory, color wheels, and then just like a bunch of boring coding software and imagery and satellites and GPS and all that fancy tech stuff for people who are going out and taking pictures in the field and such.
That's great. Yeah, I got the opportunity, taking us back to Arizona, mm-hmm. I got the opportunity when Arizona State decided to digitize all of their maps.
Yeah.
They got rid of all of their maps. So they had the local maps, but then they had international, national maps, and you could just, it was a field day.
Oh, free for all. Yeah.
Free for all of people coming in. And then I was lucky enough to get the inside information that they didn't announce as widely. And I went to another building and got just amazing maps. Oof. Of all of these different areas of Arizona going back to like the 1920s. And
that's so cool.
It's very, very cool. But the thing is, to go to your discussion of color, as you go back in time, less and less color differentiation is in the maps. Uh-huh. And so it was so much harder in those 1920 ones because they're like yellow, red, and orange. And it was like, okay, I think I know this area. But then you go 20 years later, 30 years later, and it's like, okay, now we have blue, now we have green, now we have all this stuff to differentiate. So that really resonated with me. That's interesting.
Yeah, when they invented color in like 1940 for the first time,
absolutely.
It was exciting to see.
Yeah,
it's if you ever get the chance to look at like the U.S. Geological Survey, there are maps that are very like technical and they have like a lot of text information on them where it gets you like, oh, this is how you read a map, because it's a lot of actual reading. Because there is, at the end of the day, only so much one picture can show, but the amount of information that just one graphic, one map can really convey to a user and how that looks, I think a lot. My job before this, I was doing mapping work in Baltimore City, and the amount of like equity work that can go into maps and where that looks like, where are people experiencing poverty? Where are they experiencing homelessness? And where does that correlate with public resources? Are there communities that have access to food? The idea of a food desert, and all of this comes to the idea of like spatial closeness and proximity and geography. And it's like, okay, these are the people that need the most help, but where are they actually physically barriered from these resources? And looking at that from a spatial perspective adds that other context. And also you get to do that while making it look pretty. I make a lot of fun maps about like sea level rise. It's like, oh yeah, this is going to be underwater tomorrow and we're never going to get it back, but it looks nice, right?
Yeah, it's very beautiful, you know. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If people wanted to learn more about you, or they wanted to learn more about cartography, what would you recommend? Where would you recommend they go?
So if you want to learn more about me, you can find me everywhere at @Jake_my_day. That's Twitter, Instagram, Venmo, wherever. But if you want to learn more about cartography, one of my favorite books, and I'm saying this because he is also from Baltimore, Mark Monmonier, that's M-O-N-M-O-N-I-E-R, wrote a really famous book called About How to Lie with Maps. It's similar to How to Lie with Statistics, and it basically explains a lot of cartographic principles and how people distort and use them to tell the narrative they want to tell in the first place. It's a really short read, but really fascinating, perfect coffee table book, especially because there's a lot of pretty pictures in it, which is a big fan of mine. So yeah, the book is How to Lie with Maps by Mark Monmonier.
Fantastic. Jake, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like I learned quite a bit.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
Excellent. My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining.